in our final study together, the thought is not so much the assembly under review with regards to a teaching or a position that they were once exposed to, but our desire is to conclude the day with the thought of the Lord's looking at the assembly at Philadelphia and encouraging them because he saw their works and that he had set before them an open door. And the desire is that as we look at the Lord's presentation of himself, his review of this local assembly, that it might be a source of inspiration for us to aspire to the same response that the Lord had for them. The Lord was able to look at their circumstance, their situation, their history, and he says, you were connected, you are responding to the opportunities that I've availed to you. And for this, he took great delight. And so he then gives them a recommendation. It's not so much a remediation. He gives them a recommendation. Hold fast. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep on where you're going. Keep on being who you are, because I have your interests, and I'm going to, and we read the rewards, although that's not the focus of the exercise. The focus of the exercise is looking at the opportunities that the Lord granted to Philadelphia and that the Lord still gives opportunities today. He's still the one who has the key of David. He's still the one who opens and no man shuts. He still gives opportunities, and we have. And we're given the opportunity to be in this time, in this place, in our local testimonies, to be there responsive to his leading and direction and to the opportunities he affords us. And so this is so that we might be encouraged, that we might aspire to being in the condition that we might walk through those open doors and bring delight to the Lord's heart. So we could start with his presentation of himself. What is he presented as? He says, these things says he that is holy, he that is true. And then we can come to the other two.
I wonder, Brother Mark, if, again, we can relate to the company that he is addressing to. Brother Emil mentioned earlier that in these seven assemblies, we don't read about Colossae, probably because the failure already started and they were removed. But one has to be thankful at the same time that in this book of Revelation, there are assemblies that we never heard before or addressed to. But nevertheless, at the same time, as Philadelphia speaks of brotherly love, we are exhorted approximately seven times in the scripture about this brotherly aspect of things. And I want to suggest to you that one of the most that I love dearly is the exhortation, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. And certainly believe that this assembly was, in the good of that, there was this brotherly love that was seen amongst the saints, so that when the Lord had to say something, it was all in good terms. There's no rebuke. There is no negative aspects that were seen, whether them or Smyrna. And the exhortation that one would like to say in a practical way is that brotherly love is never on the expense of God. Is never on the expense of the truth. Is never on the expense of what the scripture teaches us as far as principles are concerned. And I think there's this verse in the writing of John that will always help us. By this we know we love the children of God. By this, this is the proof of it. That we love God and we keep his commandments. And certainly one would say to Philadelphia there was that aspect of keeping. They have kept the word of his patience. And brethren, I think this is something that is well needed amongst the saints of God. That let brotherly love abide. And we need to be in the good of this, love the brotherhood. And this assembly was in the gain of that. And thus there was an open door that was opened before them.
Maybe that's why he is presenting himself as a holy. Because again, it is a beautiful balance that we see in the blessed Lord. And I think this is the thing that we need to take home with. If I need anything, it's in him. If I need to learn the balance between love and holiness, it's in him. I see his ways, I see his action. So just to kind of protect against going into one side or the other, as he speaks about brotherly love, is the one who is speaking about it is the one who is holy.
I have a question. To the Church of Laodicea, Lord Jesus presented himself as faithful witness. But here, even in the sight of the eyes of Lord Jesus, he found everything good in the, amongst the brethren of Philadelphia. But my question is, why he is presenting himself as the holy? Because they were maintaining, as far as we understand the scripture, that they were maintaining that that thing there.
I would suggest that one of the things that is that comes out with the thought of holiness and with the thought of the true is what is in contrast to that which is unholy and that which is false. What he is presented himself as is the authentic one, the one who is other than everything else. He is holy, he is set apart, he is distinct in his character, in his nature, in his person. And he is true. He is the one who is the measure. We had that earlier today. The measure, the standard by which all things are to be measured. And so when he comes to Philadelphia, he reminds them, this is what you have captured and you've seen. You've seen my the difference, the distinction of who I am as holy and as true. And so because you've recognized that, because you are embracing the thought of my otherness, if I can use that word, it's a value. And I think that's a point that we need to keep in mind. We have this natural tendency to bring Christ down to us and to make Christ and to try to relate, if I can use that word. And that the fact of the matter is Christ is, we've had in the last study, he is preeminent. Mm-hmm. He is all-sufficient. He is separate. He's distinct. He's to be uniquely recognized. And I think this is why the holy and the true comes before us. When that is part of our thinking, that is part of our daily meditation and consideration, then we are aligned with him and want to be engaged with what he wants us to be engaged with.